anybody? Well, anybody know today's date? 3rd of July. Very special date for Stephen at the back there. We're going to be celebrating his birthday in a little while. But 6 years ago, on the 3rd of July 2010, we had the official opening of Goldthorpe Pentecostal Community Church on Market Street. And it was still Stephen's birthday then, yeah? And he very graciously spent the entire day of his birthday here at church at the open day. And for those of you who were there, you can probably remember the months leading up to that open day, how we'd had a long journey to buy this building, and that journey had been full of ups and downs and twists and turns. How in February of that year, we actually got the keys to this building. And on Valentine's Day, which is Tony's birthday, in 2010, after the evening meeting that we'd had, we actually came to this building. I don't know if those of you that were here might remember. After the evening service at Beaver Street, we came to the building and we stood in this building and we gave thanks and we were singing away and the police arrived because the postmaster next door didn't know that we'd got the keys and thought that somebody had broken into the building. So the police turned up as we were all there sort of singing and praising for the fact that God had actually granted us this building and we'd got the keys. Yeah, so it was quite a special night, that one. And we remember the months of hard work that went on between February and July when we seemed to spend so many hours in the building, you know, getting it ready, getting it fit for purpose, painting, plastering, tearing things down, building things up. You know, it was a very, very busy time as we restored the building so that it could be fit for a new generation of worshippers. And since then, we've done a lot more work on the building. We've had a lot more services. We've seen new people join the church. We've seen others finish their race. We've welcomed new babies and new families into our church family. We've continued many of the outreaches that we did and we've started new ones. And everything that God has done over the past years is worth remembering and celebrating. And we're reminded, you know, more than once, that God has got good plans for his people. He said through the prophet Jeremiah, the very famous words in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And it's always amazing when a Bible promise comes alive to us individually, when it's not just something that we've read there on the pages of a book, but it becomes alive in us. And we can rejoice over all that God has done and all he continues to do. And as we contemplate, you know, new plans, maybe buying the land next door and developing, you know, our area, we're reminded that God's plans continue to be good. And we pray, you know, Psalm 20:4, into our church situation, may he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. That's, you know, so often been our experience, both individually over many years of God's faithfulness and as a church. None of us could possibly have imagined how we could move from Beaver Street and have enough money to pay the running costs of this building. But we have. We've seen God's provision. We've seen God's help in so many ways over these past 6 years. We've seen that God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And as we look ahead to new ventures, you know, as we continue to seek God for his plans for us as individuals and as a church, then we can be confident that God's got more plans that he wants to reveal to us, that he wants to unveil to us. So this family service is looking at the idea of plans. And a plan is just a detailed proposal for doing something, for achieving something. There's a sense of purpose and intention when you make a plan. You might make plans for a holiday, yeah? Decide where you want to go, what you want to do there. Sometimes you've got to plan quite a long time in advance. You've got to book those arrangements, book your accommodation. You look at the resorts, you look at what you can do in that place, which ones you want to do. If you make plans to get married, you've often got to make arrangements well in advance, you know, to get a particular church or a hotel where you want a reception, you know, so that you can get married on the date that you want to. That means a lot of forward planning. Any event that involves a lot of people involves planning and preparation. But even ordinary things need planning. You know, if you want to eat something, you've got to have planned what you want to eat. Otherwise, you might get to the cupboard or the fridge and find there's nothing there. Yeah? So you have to decide ahead of time what you're going to buy, you know, what you want to eat, so that you've got something there that you can have when you get home from work. Some people like planning. Some people hate it. They prefer to do things more spontaneously, on the spur of the moment. But for all of us, at some point, you know, plans have to be made every day. There can be quite a lot of choice involved in those plans. If you want to go and see a film, you know, you can make plans, but you've got to decide which film you want to see, which cinema it's on at, what time, and so on. If you decide, you know, that you want to be a doctor, you know, you've got a lot of planning and work and preparation before you actually qualify to do that particular job. It can be helpful to make plans, but sometimes, you know, things are outside of our control, and it doesn't matter what we do, we can't actually carry out those plans. I think, you know, God's given us an ability to think and to plan ahead. There's nothing wrong with making plans. But James reminds us that the plans that we make should never leave out God, should never ignore God. In James chapter 4, it says, "Listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's sin for them." And the problem there was not that people were making plans as such, but it was that they were acting in ways that had no regard for God. James says, you know, we don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Life is God's gift to us. We need to think about God in all the plans that we make. If we don't, then we run the risk of making plans that are futile. Proverbs 21 verse 2 says, "A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart." And in other places in Proverbs, it says there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. We've got to be willing to consult God all the time about the paths that we're choosing and the ways that we take. We need to keep in step with God's Spirit, not running ahead, not lagging behind, so that we can make helpful plans. You know, the Bible's full of people making plans. Noah planning to build the ark according to God's instructions. David planning to build a temple for God. Nehemiah planning to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But the key to those plans were that people were following God's instructions. They didn't just go off and do their own thing without consulting God. They sought God's advice, they sought God's instructions, so they did exactly what God wanted. David had to wait for the temple to be built by his son, because God said that it wasn't for him to build it. The best plans are the ones that we make with God. But sometimes, as Mark's been telling us, as he's been talking about Joseph's life, no matter how good the plan is, life has a habit of shattering the plans. Job experienced that. He said, "My days have passed, my plans are shattered." Up until that point, his life had been quite pleasant, full of blessing. But he faced adversity upon adversity. He lost his family. He lost his livelihood. He lost his health. And he must have felt bewildered, because he knew that nothing had fundamentally changed in him, and yet everything was changed. You know, Robert Burns says that the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. One minute life can seem great, you know, the sun's shining, everything seems to be going perfectly well. And the next minute we're devastated. We might lose our health or our job security. You know, we might lose loved ones. But even, you know, if the tragedies aren't as drastic as that, it can often be very frustrating or inconvenient when our plans are shattered. And it's especially difficult if you think that you were doing what God wanted you to do and the plans seem to just fall to pieces? Why would God allow that kind of disaster to happen? Why, if Joseph is going to be so influential that his father and brothers are going to bow down before him, does he have to suffer the indignity not only of being sold into slavery, but actually being put into prison for a crime that he's not committed? Why, if he's doing everything honourably and he's interpreting these dreams as God gives him ability, does the cupbearer forget all about him for another 2 years? You know, even though the cupbearer's release from prison is entirely down to Joseph. Such incidents show us we can have good plans and still see them thwarted. But in the story of Joseph, we see that God is still working. God's plans don't always coincide with ours, but he's still working in our waiting. He's sanctifying us. He's teaching us. He's teaching us ultimately to trust him no matter what. And the Bible says over and over again that shattered plans are not the end of the story. So if we're in a difficult situation where things don't seem to make sense and we don't know how God can bring any good out of it, we need to keep going and persevering, because the God who thwarts the plans of the crafty and foils the plans of the nations won't allow his purposes to be thwarted. He'll bring good out of every situation. The Bible tells us that God's got plans for every single one of us. We're made in his image. We're created to do God's good works. We're God's handiwork. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he's prepared in advance for us to do, Paul says. And one of the key things for us to learn is that God's plans are greater than ours, and they stand firm. Our plans often change from day to day. Sometimes they've got to change, but God's plans don't. Psalm 33 verse 11 says, "The plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations." Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." God's plans are based on the fact that he's all-powerful and he's all-knowing. He knows what's best. He's not limited by time and space in the way we are. He's not thwarted by circumstances. He knows the beginning and the end. His purposes will be carried out. But his purposes are greater than ours. You see, we, generally speaking, just want to be happy. But he wants us to be conformed to the image of his son. And so he allows trials into our lives because he knows those trials can shape us and mould us into the people that he wants us to be. The very famous verse in Romans 8 says, "In all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose," and goes on to say that that purpose is that we are conformed to the image of Christ. God's purpose ultimately is for us to become like him. And so the problem that we often have in life is that there's a gap between our plans, what we want, and God's plans, what he wants. We've got dreams and plans and purposes, and often they can be all-consuming, and we can spend a lot of time and effort and money on them. But God's dreams are greater than ours. And the only dreams and plans that actually will last into eternity are those that were born, birthed in eternity. So we've got to be willing to trade our dreams for God's dreams, because his dreams are so much bigger and better than ours. Casting Crowns have written a song called "Dream for You." And it looks at the dreams and the plans that David and Mary might have had. David dreaming about perhaps being a big-time shepherd one day as he's there on the hills looking after the sheep. Mary perhaps dreaming about a picture-perfect family, getting married to Joseph. And God speaks to both of them, and he shows them that their dreams are as nothing compared to God's dreams. David's going to be used to bring down the giant Goliath, and his shepherd songs will one day be sung by everybody in the world. Mary's ideal family will actually include the birth of the saviour of the world. And they're both reminded to let go of your plan. Be caught by my hand. I'll show you what I can do when I dream for you. My child, if you only knew all the plans that I have for you, just trust me, I will follow through. You can follow me. So whatever our plans tonight, let's be prepared to admit and dare to hope that God has got good plans for each one of us. If we're in that place where our plans are shattered and we can't imagine good things ever happening again, let's hold on to the fact that God is the restorer of shattered plans and broken dreams. Job says, my spirit is broken, my days are cut short, the grave awaits me. But you know, when you get to the end of Job, it says the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. Let's not make boastful plans that disregard God, but let's seek God for his plans, for his purposes, for us as individuals, as families, and as his church. He's got good plans to prosper us. He's not forgotten us. He's with us in the fire and in the flood. He's always faithful. He's always merciful. He's always loving and gracious. And let's remember too that God's not in as much of a hurry as we are. He may often make us wait to see the fulfillment of those plans, as he did with Joseph, as he did to a certain extent with us as we were waiting to move into this building. But nothing can stop his plans. And we can be secure in that time when we're living perhaps between the dream being planted in our hearts and it being fulfilled, that God's plans will prevail. Proverbs 16 verse 3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. As we cooperate with God, as we commit all our plans to him, as we've got confidence in his ability to finish the things that he starts, we'll be amazed at what God can do.